Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and I'm with Craig Hill in studio. Craig is the underwriter for the Norris Group's Loan Division. Craig, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We've done this a few times, but just to review, I met you in the early 90s when I was buying and selling properties. And at the time, hard money loan business was basically doing loans to owner-occupants.
Yeah, I mean, almost exclusively. Everything was about somebody had a situation or a problem they were trying to solve, and that's what hard money was. And as you know, I mean, we started that, and I think most of hard money now is really investor-driven. So it's completely done the reversal.
Yeah, when I remember the first two deals that I attempted to fund, the person that owned the company that you were with at the time was a little hesitant because it was not an owner-occupant. And then now that we've had a history of so many years of doing it, the payment history of a non-owner-occupant or an investor is amazingly great.
Oh, yeah. In other words, as you know, we don't even do owner-occupants.
Right.
And, I mean, that was the concept way back when where you were buying a house – and it could have been next door to a house where an owner-occupant was. And the company would have lent them, if, say, the house, for simplicity, was worth $100,000, we would have lent them maybe $60,000, $65,000.
Right.
You came to me with a couple deals that you'd bought at, around 40, if I can remember. And it was hard at the time to convince somebody that that house was worth as much as the house right next door that was identical.
Right. If whatever you paid for it, that's got to be what it was worth.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is an interesting thought that people had. And we can't buy this asset at a discount. And then, you know, since it's happened several thousand times in our experience, I guess we're convinced that it happens. The loan business really for a long time was really just setting up a sell on the property on the other side. So whoever it was, let's say myself at that time, was buying a property for a resale. I was buying it to below market, having to put work into it only with the intention of reselling it because that was the financing that was available.
Exactly. The first 10, 15 years at the Norris Group even, I mean, that's really all that made sense because there really wasn't a way for, say, somebody to hold the property and have it make sense using hard money.
I think that's a combination of interest rates. It's kind of funny. Our interest rates have been 12.5 for almost the entire time. I think it's varied 0.5%.
Right.
So whatever happened to all the interest rates that are underlying the hard money loan business, for some reason, that's been a very consistent number, whether mortgage rates were 8% or 3%.
Yeah, it seems like that certainly doesn't adjust like, say, conventional mortgages.
Yeah, and I know when people first call you and they talk about, you know, the rates on the borrower side, if they're thinking of investing in trustees, it's sort of like, well, who would pay 12.5% interest, and they're thinking that's it's got to be somebody that's got a problem.
Right. I mean, it's kind of funny. There's actually two people that lend money in as far as how they view it. The one you just mentioned that thinks, well, if somebody's paying 12.5%, they must be a huge risk.
Right.
And then the other people that think they can always get a higher yield somewhere.
Okay.
So it depends on who you're talking to in that regard.
The borrower, though, is usually somebody that's got lots of experience and just needs to have money to do yet another deal that he already knows is going to contain that expense very easily inside of the resale numbers.
Yeah. I can't put a percentage on it, but I would say out of our deals, at least 80%+ are probably repetitive within the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you were to go outside to say the first time people, even though they may not be repetitive with us, they've probably done the business before. So it's very, very unlikely that we get a client that this is their first deal. Although, you know, it is everybody has a first deal. And especially in a market like this, 3 years ago, maybe you did find a lot of people that were maybe first time buyers because it was very easy to buy property.
Right.
It was a little harder to sell, and with the appraisals coming in, this and that, it was a little harder on the sales side. But right now, with the way the market is picking up, you really don't have too many first-time people buying a lot of houses, because even the experienced clients are having to change their methods and probably, you know, take on strategies that they weren't using 3 years ago.
Now, having said that, are we busy?
Well, we're swamped, yes.
Yeah. So it's interesting. There's nothing for sale, and yet our loan business is going to be setting a record this month.
Yeah, we're very fortunate because we are busy, and maybe going forward, but we talked about people that were buying houses to resell them had always been the traditional hard money.
Right.
Now we have a program that allows people to buy houses. It actually carries the loan out 8 years, gives them a lower interest rate, something that at today's prices they cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have a lot of people that are, you know, buying rentals, and it's such a good combination because if the people have heard you for years, they know that your specialty is really tracking the market.
Mm-hmm.
So it scares me in the loan business when we don't know exactly or it doesn't look too positive. But when Bruce and the Norris Group say it looks like we're going to have some good appreciation, it's really a positive thing because it just kind of feeds into the loan business, because we have a lot of clients that listen to what you say. And there's a lot of people that are buying and holding properties just because it appears to make so much sense right now.
When did we start the loan program? That's the 8-year program.
If I had to guess, maybe like about 3 years ago,
okay.
I would say.
So there was the conventional world basically had shut the pipeline off to investors.
Yeah, I mean, it was something that just came out of, I think, necessity. I mean, there really wasn't a product for people that wanted to keep loans, and we got a lot of our people that wanted to keep loans. So we were able to develop a program that not only worked for the people that were holding or, you know, buying and holding the properties, but it was also attractive enough to investors. So we were able to attract money, and, you know, you don't have a loan business without both. So
that's right.
It's been a good match between the two, and it's been extremely successful. And I would say now it probably accounts for, you know, 60-70% of the business that's coming in.
Okay. The source of the deals, has that changed, let's say, over the last year?
Yeah, absolutely. A year ago, when we got applications or deals, you'd almost on every application, you'd see REO.
Right.
Which for people that aren't familiar, that means real estate owned, so that would be a bank-owned property. Then occasionally you might see short sale. And usually people that were buying those were very frustrated because it seemed to be very difficult to close a short sale in a timely manner, or if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then very rarely you would actually see something being purchased off a private party.
Okay.
Now today you can almost reverse that, where there's an awful lot of private party deals being purchased. There's a good number of short sales being purchased. And it appears that the process with the short sales is a little more easy to navigate, because once again, we're closing an awful lot of short sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then you still have a decent percentage that are REOs. I will say that within the REOs, the majority of those are probably still relationship driven, where they're not just your REO that you're driving down your street and there's a bank owned house, because you have hundreds of people probably bidding on that. It's probably a more of a scenario with the REOs, where that house has fallen out of escrow 5 times, and maybe one of our clients gets a call and says, hey, listen, it needs to close this time. You know, what price can you do it, and do it quick?
Sitting where you sit, you see deals happening like up and down the coast of Southern California. And, you know, Rick Solis is doing the appraising of these properties. Is there any sense there's a fair amount of price progression going on in the last 12 months?
Oh, absolutely. Talking to Rick, I mean, it's hard to put a percentage on it and, you know, say this area, that area. But I mean, even with him, I mean, 2% a month, even,
mm-hmm.
if not a little more aggressive than that in some areas. It's just, it's one of those times where, you know, you're dealing where it's almost hard to appraise it for what it's going to sell for. because you're dealing with data that happened in the past, and the future is definitely going to be higher than that.
Yeah.
So, and that's almost across the board.
And have you noticed in the buy sell business that the one of the things that we end up with is we get paid off when stuff sells? So are we seeing any increase in payoffs or any speed change in the length people are holding them?
I would say the average length of time is still 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
But I would say there are a few that are paying off quicker. Usually I don't necessarily monitor all the payoffs because I don't see them, but the ones that I do see still seem to go the 3 to 6 months, just because by the time you do the fix up, I would imagine that investor gets it into escrow almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Where the time comes is probably still closing the loan.
Okay.
So you still have a process there between the fix up and the closing of the loan where you get, I would say at least 3 months in, unless it's a real rare case.
One of the things that we teach people to do, and one of the things you'll start seeing and already probably have started seeing, is the longer it takes to do a project, the more profitable it becomes. So people start doing things like, okay, let's add on or on a structure, or let's fix a burnout structure. Like we have a triplex with one of our clients we just went through in a boot camp where he's completely rehabbing a fire damage. But that takes a lot of experience, but it also takes time to do. Each month he owns that thing, it's clicking another, you know, thousands of dollars in his favor.
Absolutely. This is one of the good times to be a buy and flip person, because as you mentioned, a lot of times the monthly payment is prohibitive, and that's extra incentive to get everything done as quick as you can. But the way the market is now, any monthly payment that you make is certainly absorbed in the appreciation. So I'm sure. And I even hear if something, say, falls out of escrow on the from a buyer and flipper,
mm-hmm.
almost across the board, when they put it back in escrow, they put it in for more.
So we're in what we call quadrant four, pricing going up. And it's a very comforting thing for people that are in the business, because what you just mentioned, the price can change, but also the rehab requirements change along with that. The buyer who's looking to buy something and occupy it isn't in the mindset they were in 2009, where everything better be perfect or I won't touch it. In 2013, it'll be, gosh, there's actually a house for sale.
Exactly. As you mentioned, you know, 2-3 years ago, I would say that You probably had all the houses on the market needing to look like model homes,
Yeah. And
the buyers to feel like they were controlling the, if it doesn't have this, we're not that interested. And now, you know, it certainly doesn't have to look like a model home. It's going to be fixed up nice, but it doesn't need all the bells and whistles as maybe it would have 2 or 3 years ago.
And also people that are doing repair estimates, if they make some errors, they usually can get bailed out without too much of a problem with a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's you know, when we analyze deals, it's pretty hard to make a mistake, I would say. In other words, if somebody's making that big of a mistake now, it's even easier to catch. I spoke with Greg actually this morning on a deal, and for people that don't know, Greg does the buying part for the company.
Right.
And it was a deal in Riverside, and we kind of looked at it, and I thought the numbers were a little tight, but just the way all the numbers were going, the borrower almost insisted on moving forward, even though I was certainly on the fence at the very best. But that's exactly what you're describing. If he does that house, does a really nice fix-up job, even if it takes 6 months to get out of it, he'll probably benefit because of the direction of the market.
Okay. Well, that brings up construction of new homes. I know we have a few loans that are in process for that. So let's talk about the construction loan program for both reselling and for holding.
Yeah, basically, I guess you could say, just to cover the difference of the two, they're going to be similar, and I'll cover that in a second. But the ones that are going to be for flipping, essentially, that'll just be like the rehab loan. So it'll be a shorter term loan, and then it'll pay off when they resell it.
Mm-hmm.
For the people that are going to carry the rentals, what we'll do is we'll start it out like a construction loan or typical rehab type loan. And then when it's finished, we'll do our 8-year loan on it so that they're able to keep it as a rental.
So what will be the change in interest rate? The construction loan will be at what interest rate, and then it'll turn to a long term at what rate?
Yeah, it'll start at 12.9, the construction rate on that for the loan, and okay. Then it'll turn into the 9.9 for 8 years.
Okay. So the construction loan is 12.9 as opposed to 12.5 for the buy sell on the REOs or whatever,
yes.
The short sales.
Yes.
Okay. Big change this year in points.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, probably maybe one of the reasons we're so busy is we've reduced the points. We've always been at 3.5 points, but felt a need to be maybe a little more competitive. So we went down to 2.5, and it's been received extremely well. And we're certainly, you know, we certainly have the business to back that up.
And some of that business is coming from people that will or already have done more than 10 loans with us. And then there's additional incentives. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. If somebody is somebody that buys a larger quantity of deals, say 10 as an example.
And not at one time,
no.
But over a year period type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, please not at one time. If somebody is in that level, we'll actually even drop the points down to 2 points. And another change we'll make on that is we'll typically our loan-to-value ranges from 60 to 65%. With most being at 65% now, just because of the direction of the market,
mm-hmm.
People that would fall into the category where they're high volume buyers will probably go 65 to 70% with, once again, most of those are coming in closer to 70% than anything.
Okay. And these are from our most experienced people and with a track record with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, another thing too, the property always dictates something on that. So we're definitely talking about, you know, very standard conforming properties for the neighborhood. So if something's a little non-conforming, condos might be slightly reduced in some cases. So the property is going to have some bearing on the loan to value, but if it's your standard, you know, standard rental house, it's going to get close to 70% for those clients.
Just in case somebody doesn't know what a standard rental house looks like, does it have perfect lawn, or, you know, is it brand new?
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that, for people on the investment side, they, for years and years, they've been used to seeing a house that's going to be bought and resold.
Right.
And most of our clients do make it look close to model houses.
Right.
So what generally happens when we're dealing with the rental, there's two things there. One, we're probably going to appraise it as if it's only in like average plus condition.
Okay.
So you won't get the extra maybe 10 grand on the appraisal because it's not going to be maybe in good condition. It's just going to be an average plus.
It's in livable condition. And as a matter of fact, most of the properties are coming from an owner occupant being there, either bought from somebody that's doing a short sale, possibly, or a renter that may even stay in the property.
Exactly. So, the condition is still very good, but it's just not, you know, done over the top. As you mentioned, a lot of times, you know, maybe the yard isn't as manicured as something would be if you were going to sell it. Just little things like that. But overall, the condition is definitely very nice. It's just not all the way up to the top as if somebody was, say, competing to sell that house.
Right.
And partially, one reason you don't do that, because if you do that right now and then you keep it for, you know, 7 or 8 years before you sell it, you're probably going to have to do all that work again.
Okay. 70% is the most aggressive we've been, but there's a reason for it, and we feel like the market is changing rapidly. So when we're at 70%, by the time, if a 6-month holding period, it's very likely that value would have changed by 10%. It's been in our recent experience.
Oh, exactly. It's just, once again, that's one of the benefits of with the research that you do. I mean, we're kind of trying to always be on the front of what's happening with the market. And right now, when you have a deal 68, 69% and you show it to an investor, it really isn't, you know, it's almost not even in the conversation anymore. Now, conversely, when we were first coming out of the crash, if you want to call it that,
mm-hmm.
and prices were at a third of what they were, even at the top end, we were probably only going, you know, 58, 59%. And frankly, there was a lot more questions and concern at that level just because of the direction of the market. So when the news is positive, it just people have a lot more comfort about making the loans.
We're servicing somewhere in the neighborhood of $45 million of loans.
Yes.
And the percentage of those loans that are in a foreclosure process of some kind?
Well, I mean, it sounds unreal, but there isn't one that's in that process right now. There's a couple that are teetering, but, you know, usually they come through with making payments before it gets to that level.
Or the loan to value is so reasonable that it would get sold at a trustee sale to somebody for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about construction and in the process of fund control and
yes.
What we've, you know, kind of what role that plays and why it's necessary.
Yeah, well, there's been new regulations where when you do a construction loan, it has to be a third party. So that's just something that's going to be necessary really on every construction loan, every company. There's two parts of it, if you will. The first part of it, it's really like, you do a loan. Mm-hmm. So that would be really just very repetitive of what we already do. The second part is going to be the fund control. Now, some of the differences before we do a loan on a property that we're going to do construction on, they're going to own the land free and clear. Mm-hmm. They're going to have plans and then they're going to have permits.
Okay.
So that's where they're at in their process. And then what we will do is we will do a loan for 60% of the after repaired value.
After built value.
Yeah, after built value.
Okay.
So that's where our process is going to start.
Okay.
Then what happens is you have a fund control company that comes into play. So basically what we would do is we would take out fees and things of that nature. We would forward an amount to the fund control company.
And that amount is the remaining dollars. So the loan has to be fully funded now, according to the rules.
Yes.
Okay. So whatever comes after the points and fees, all of that gets sent to a fund control.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then the fund control, the one that looks like we're going to move forward with, they're basically around 1% of that amount. So
okay.
If they get $240,000, $2,400 is going to be the fee for that. So that's what they'll start with. And realistically, for that amount, they do an awful lot. They kind of will work with the person. They'll try to customize it a little bit. Either maybe they'll release funds twice a month or once a month, depending on the contractor's preference. They'll have a complete list of everything that needs to be done. They actually go out to the property. They take pictures. Then they send us like a packet. And in that packet, they'll advise us how much they think we should release. We kind of give them the okay. And then they release it. And that's just kind of the process. So,
well, and they're really an investor's best friend because it allows a third party to say, you can't pay this contractor yet. He's not done.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to sign off for it, and that money's not coming out until it is done and the supplier's paid. So you really have to have a check and balance system in place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, they're going to make sure suppliers are paid, permits, sign offs, everything is done. And for the service they provide, it's just, it's when Aaron and I met with the gentleman the other day, and just the amount of work that they do on each loan is pretty amazing.
It is.
And we were quite glad that we weren't going to have to do it. We could just be involved in the process, but really have somebody that's what they do.
So our construction loan fees start then at 2.5 points, and there'll be another point for the
the company that does the fund control. Yes.
Okay. Last 48 seconds, we also have $400,000 and above loan. We have some special pricing on that now too.
Yeah. Anything over $400,000 is just going to be a flat, $10,000, which is, 2.5 points,
right,
which
at
is,
that point.
That's where we are. So
right.
Then up to $500,000, it stays $10,000. So just a flat fee. And then anything over $500,000 is, reduced to just 2 points.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of changes.
And yeah, that's a lot.
Especially for a company that didn't change much.
Oh, no.
We've changed a lot. Well, Craig, thanks for clearing up some of our loan programs.
Thank you.
Thanks for always taking good care of the decisions and how we loan and who we loan to.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.